to encourage you. Man, there's just been such an awesome move of God in this place, and I believe this is your time. I was sharing with Pastor and First Lady earlier that we were in Illinois, and you can watch these services online, by the way, and we had gone, and the Lord just really showed up in a powerful way, and I feel like I need to say this before I share from the Word tonight. And the pastor, Paul, and then, of course, in Lincoln there, and they're probably going to be watching these services. And I called Pastor on the way here because I wanted Pastor Mike to hear his testimony. And they had been praying for 25 years for a breakthrough in their city. I mean, you know, that's a long time to be praying for a revival. And God promised in January, February that they're going to open the heavens over their church. Well, it happened just about a month ago. And it's just been a phenomenal move of God. His back was healed. He had been in a car accident, and the car flipped over. And he said the only time that he didn't feel pain for almost 30 years is when he was preaching. And he shares this on their live. And so it's good to see my nephew, Evangelist, teaching. Amen? Praise God. And so, God supernaturally moved in their church, and now revival is still going on, not just there, but also a neighboring church where they joined together. And so when I left the service the other night, I couldn't just go right to sleep like I did, but there was just, you know, basking in God's presence. And I really felt like the Lord spoke to me to speak to pastor in this church. That there's a dam that's about to break in this church. And not just the river in the sanctuary, but the river's going to flow out of the sanctuary. I want you to hear me in the spirit. So what does that mean? Some of your children are about to get saved and delivered and set free. Your grandchildren are coming into the kingdom. How many have been praying for a breakthrough in your family? Why don't you decree tonight that I'm standing for household salvation? Come on, somebody. How many believe in God? That's it. Glory to God. So I really believe you can hear the gusher. Amen. In the kingdom of God. And there's something about revival, and then there's the move of God. And you need to understand is that preachers, we don't create waves. Come on, somebody. Amen. But we ride the waves. Come on, we have any surfers in here? Surfers don't create waves. I got a surfer back here. Come on. Amen. But we jump on it and we ride the wave. Praise God. And so I just really sense the Holy Spirit moving in this house. And you've had great crowds each night. And thank God for that. But there's an anointing in this room. And God wants to do something phenomenal. And I just believe, I want you to turn around and tell somebody, this is our time. Come on, tell them. Okay, now that neighbor looked at you funny. That's the wrong neighbor. Look at another one. Okay, tell the other neighbor, this is our time. Come on, amen. And how many really believe that? How many sensing that in the spirit? Come on, I just want to make sure we're in the right vein tonight. And having said that, we're going to talk about the river tonight, all right? So just stay with me. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 26, and praise God, and I'm going to read verse 18, and then I'm going to go to John chapter 7, praise God. Now, out of all the pages in the Bible, and I've just about worn this Bible out, this happens to be the only page that's torn up. So I may have to put it on the screen or something, but I can just about quote it. But I just want to read the first, verse here. And Isaac dig again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of Abraham his father. But the Philistines had stopped them up, amen, after the death of Abraham. Praise God. Now John chapter 7, let's go there very quickly. John chapter 7 and verse 37. When you have it, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. For the two people. Okay, three. Thank you. Praise God. I want to read this tonight. You know, right now, people, they find the scripture on their iPhones and iPads, and maybe I'm old school, but I like to hear the turning of pages just to remind the devil, we're coming after you. Come on, somebody. Can you say amen? Praise God. Because I remember before they put it on the screen, we just stand up and the preacher said, turn the book to, you know, to Zechariah or to Leviticus. And we didn't know. He didn't know. We didn't know. So we just opened the Bible. He thought it was all along. We was over there by Revelation somewhere, you know, just looking at the book. And, you know, okay, that's it. I'm not in New York, some folks, you know. Missouri, praise the Lord, that's the show me state. Come on. Amen. John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes, sir.
Look at somebody, tell them, I'm living by the river. Turn to somebody else and tell them, Lord, give me my flow back. Come on, somebody. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight that you called us here for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, for what we sit in this house. The people of God that have gathered not to hear Bishop Webb, but they come to hear a word from you. And I pray that you'll anoint these lips of clay as we break the bread of life. And God, I pray that you'll anoint the ear bone of your people, that they will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I pray, God, let the dam burst tonight. Amen. Let the river begin to flow. Oh, shut up. In the name of Jesus. And for this, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And everybody shouted, amen. Come on, praise him on your way down. Would you do that? Amen. We're going to talk about the river tonight, just for a few moments, because I sense in the spirit realm that there's a mighty river that's flowing. You know, when I was preparing for this message, and I've preached around this text on many occasions, but I thought there is something special about a river. In spite of the potential floodings and amen, ever-present mosquitoes. Hello, somebody. Amen. People pay premium prices just to live by a river. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. And we hear songs. When I grew up in the church, we heard lots of songs, amen, often about the river of God. And I can remember when I started preaching, I was a teenager, and I didn't start in cathedrals, and I didn't start preaching conventions. I started in Rush Harbor meetings and tent meetings. Come on, somebody. Amen. And those old grannies would run around with a PhD, the Pentecostal Seminary. Y'all know what we're talking about. Amen. They would just start singing those river songs. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I got a river of life flowing out of me.
Yes.
Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors and set the captive free. Then I got a river of life flowing out of me. Come on. They talk about those river songs. Come on. Amen. And you know what? It brought life to the church. Ladies and gentlemen, and then, you know, in our culture, they would sing the song, amen, I'm going to, you know, shout and praise God down by the riverside. Now, there's some of you young folks looking like, what river are you talking about? That's what I used to say, amen. But there was something about the river, and you could get a picture, a mental picture of a river flowing, amen, a natural river. And the Bible, amen, there's so many scriptures that relate to river, amen. And then finally, shall we gather at the river? Anybody ever heard that song? Amen. And so it's something about a river, because a river brings life. And if there ever was a time where we needed the life of God back in our church, that time is right now. Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying? And I sense in my spirit that some of you in here, I know you love God with all your heart, but you've gone through a dry season, but I hear rain in the forecast. And let me tell you, amen, God's getting ready to shower down on his people. That's why I give them about a 10-second praise right now. And thank you for the rain that's coming. Right. Many Bible passages, amen, that's linked to rivers, praise God, and streams and fountains, and they're great metaphors already seen. Psalms 36 and 9 says, God is the fountain of life. Psalm 65, 9, the river of God is full of water. Isaiah 35, 6, amen. For water shall break through and break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Praise God. It represents life coming out of dry places. How many's ready, amen, for God, amen, to, how many's ready for a river, amen, to flow through your life like never before? I want you to repeat after me, Lord, give me my flow back. I wanted to tie all this together. Now, one of the things you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that in Isaac's time, and then there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're all linked together, generation after generation. Now, Abraham, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I'm rushing to a point. Abraham represents altars in the Old Testament. Amen. Abraham built an altar. Praise God. Not just Abraham, but Samuel built an altar. David built an altar. Noah built an altar. Come on, all through the scripture, he represents altars or building of altars. And ladies and gentlemen, they're building churches now without altars. I'm scared of that. Hello. Amen. And there's a conference that I go to every year on the East Coast. And amen. And I'm privileged and humbled to preach, amen, with and preach by some of the greatest speakers in America. And the pastor said to me, you know, we bring you back on a constant basis. Not that, you know, you preach so well. Come on, somebody. But you work the altars. And because a lot of people, amen, they run to the book table before they get an altar call. What's wrong with that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have material. We travel with material. But souls are number one to me. And if we never sell a book, that's all right. But when somebody gives their heart to God, or when you hear what I'm saying, and the pastor was saying to me just a few weeks ago, and we were out just fellowshipping, and he said, I bought a speaker in, and I heard that he didn't give altar calls. And he says, so I wanted to ask him, now before I bring you in, you will do an altar call. And he said, oh no, we don't do altar calls anymore. I just preach and I leave. I'm thinking, my God, I live for the altar. Can you say amen? Oh, come on, you better hear what I'm saying tonight. So he represents altars. And so what does altars represent? Number one, it represents sacrifice before God. Oh, good God. Amen. Altars, amen. Number two, amen, it represents forgiveness of sin. Thank God. We praise God for a lot of things. We praise Him for our job, our spouses, our children, amen. But every now and then, you need to praise God that He's forgiven your sins. Come on. That you don't have to sit in church with a truckload of guilt, amen. That you can come to an altar and lay it at the altar, amen. And thank God you can leave it at the altar. Is there anybody glad here tonight that your sins have been forgiven? Not just remitted, but they've been forgiven. Yeah. So why don't you praise Him like you've been forgiven? But prayer is dialogue. We talk to God, and in return, God speaks back to us. Aren't you glad that, come on, amen, that we serve a living God? The Bible calls Him a living God. Somebody shout, He's a living God. Not Elijah Muhammad, not Christian, not Sun Yat Moon, but His name is Jesus. And He's a living God. And if you go to the tomb, He's not there, but He has risen, as He said, because He's a living God. Encounters with God. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Oh, Jacob had an encounter. And you know Jacob was a rascal. Hello?
Yeah.
Y'all know any rascals in church? Don't look at them. Just look at them. This ain't the time to touch your neighbor right now. Come on. Amen. Because in Chicago, they don't touch the neighbor. They point at the neighbor and say, that's him. Please don't do that. Let me finish my message tonight, all right? And so, but Jacob represents encounters with God. It's interesting about the life of Jacob because, amen, he's twins. There's Jacob, Esau. They're in the womb of Rebecca. You know, Genesis records this story. And this is interesting. The Bible says that he's fighting to get here before his brother. Come on.
Yeah.
Amen. In fact, Esau comes first, and Jacob reaches up in the womb and grabs his heel. His name means heel, brother. Wow, isn't that something? And so now after they're born, Jacob is still grabbing. Come on. He grabbed the birthright of his brother Esau. He deceived him and tricked him. That's the second stage of his life. But stage number three, something happened. Now he's not grabbing heels. He's not grabbing birthrights. But now he's grabbing God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He has an encounter with God where he wrestled with the angel all night. Amen. He says, let me go. But Jacob says, I won't let you go until you bless my soul. Come on. It represents encounter. I wonder what would happen today if we would grab the hold to the horns of the altar and say, I won't let you go until you deliver me. I won't let you go until you set me free. I won't let you go until the person even moves out of my spirit. I won't let you go until this sick body lines up with the word of God. Anybody in here, amen, that's willing to cry and say, I won't let you go.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. So you bless my soul. So he represents encounters with God. Abraham represents, amen, altars. He built altars. But now Isaac represents the redeeming, amen, of whales.
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah.
Come on,
amen. The Bible says now in Genesis, ladies and gentlemen, chapter 26, that the whales, his father had dug, amen, there was water there, but the Philistines had now come and filled it with earth. Come on, amen, dirt now. And it has stopped the flow of water.
Come on.
Amen, dirt represents sin. And I want to know, amen, what kind of dirt is in your well? And what have you allowed to stop the flow of God in your life? And I believe there's some people in here that have made up in your mind that if I have to apologize, I'll apologize. If I have to humble myself, I'll humble myself. If I have to say I'm sorry, big deal, amen, I really don't care. But I got to get my flow back. I can't walk around speaking in tongues and not speaking to my brother. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. And then how many is willing to humble yourself and say, I've got to get my flow back? The wells, that's yes. King James. Come on,
version.
Amen. He's redigging those wells of his father's Abraham. You know what happened because Genesis 26, amen, he's getting ready to leave. The Bible says Gerar, and he's going down to Egypt. And why is he going to Egypt? Because there are running rivers in Egypt. But the Lord speaks to him and said, don't go. Abide here. Don't go down to Egypt. I want you to stay right here, and I'm going to bless you in Gerar. And the Bible says Isaac sowed in that land. Amen. And in the same year, he received 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great, and he grew until he was very great. Come on, that's in the book. Praise God. And then the Philistines envied him. You know you're blessed when the haters show up. Come on, somebody. And now they're trying to push him away from his assignment. And so the Bible said he leaves there and he begins to redig the well of his father Abraham. Don't miss this. Although they were clogged up and stopped up, but at one time they used to flow. Come on, somebody. My God, if some of you are sitting in here, you love God with all of your heart, but at one time you used to flow in the things of God. You had a prayer life. Come on. You used to worship and sing in the praise seat, but something happened. You went through a church hurt and you let the devil clog up your well. But I'm here tonight to tell you, it's time for you, amen, to make up in your mind that I'm taking the dirt out of the well because I'm getting my flow back. Tell somebody my dry season is over. Come on, tell them. Amen. My dry season is over. I'm tired of embracing things that don't satisfy. It's like the woman at the well. She kept going back, but Jesus says, if you get a drink of this water, woman, you will never thirst again. again. How many want that kind of honor tonight? Praise God. Now, you have to understand, when you look at the Gospel of John, and I'm rushing to a close, amen, there's a connection between what is poured in and what flows out.
Yeah.
Come on now. Amen. If there's an infilling, there's got to be an outflowing. And here's the problem that I have with the church. We pray for the infilling. And once God gives us the infilling, there's no outflowing. And that's a problem right there. Because Ezekiel talks about, amen, the river, it starts in the house. Come on, somebody. Praise God. And you know the story. It's ankle deep, then knee deep, and then to your loin, and to your chest, and then they find the waters to swim in. Hello. But it don't stop in the house. It flows outside of the house. And the Bible says, amen, to every dead thing that it touches, it brings life to it. What good God. It ain't enough for you to have revival in this church and leave it in this church. God can't forget ready to break the day.